We are so thankful to be back here today with you guys. I see some familiar faces. We were able to talk to the youth this morning, and it's always such a privilege to be able to come back to Texas. Woo, Texas! Romanians laugh at us. You Texans are sure prideful. Yeah, a little bit. You can fit three countries of Romania in Texas. And so to travel around there, it's like a hop, skip, and a jump. When you try, they don't understand how big America is and how big even just Texas is. Because when you travel, it's very expensive, right? Over there, it's like a 29 euro, like a $30 plane ride to somewhere else. It's pretty amazing. I wanted to start with a verse. When you're in the Word, God tells you very clearly what you should do.
Yeah, it says here in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
When you live in another country, you need to hold on to that promise that He is always, always with you. And there is also James chapter 1, verse 22. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And in verse 27, it says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, because most of them are in distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world."
Yeah, so like we said, we are Phil and Rhonda Barnes, and if you want to go on to the next slide, you can. We've been ministering in Romania since 2018, and we have three kids, two and almost a third grandson, should be due any day now. And so that's part of the reason why we came home also, is to be there for that. And we've been serving as full-time missionaries over there since 2020. And like I said, part of why we talk about that with James 1:27 is we do work mainly with orphaned and abandoned children over there in Romania.
We also work with some village churches. They try to get kids in, and the whole reason is the gospel. Jesus is the reason to be alive, is it not? Yeah, Jesus is the one who has changed our entire life, and we are working with the village kids, the orphans, and the abandoned children so that they can know the love and the hope of Jesus Christ like we do.
Yeah, we also help with the summer camps for orphans and poor village children. And that gets quite interesting during the summer when we're doing anywhere from 5 to 8 weeks of camp. And you're up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you don't get to bed until midnight. And when you get as old as we're getting, that's a little bit more difficult than it used to be when we were younger. But it's a blessing to be able to have a time to share with the kids and everything.
And God has given us a vision for Casa Estera, which is Esther's house. It's when we think about Esther in the Bible, how she was an orphan, her uncle took her in. Unfortunately, a lot in Romania don't take their nieces, nephews in, grandchildren in, so they get put over to the system. And so God has called us to work with them. And if we work with aged out orphans, we can share the gospel all day, every day. The younger ones, we cannot do so while they're in government care. We do our very best, and we smile and love and hug and tell them, "Jesus loves you." And we give them verses in the Bible, and it brings up discussion. Like when it was snowing, and we said, gave them the verse that Jesus will wash you white as snow, you know. It didn't say exactly Jesus in the verse, so they got a little confused. Oh, so if I go in the snow, it'll clean me? But what did it do? It gave us an opportunity to talk about who washes us white as snow.
Go to the next slide. Yeah, who do we minister to? Like we said, we've got orphans that are in the system. We've started working with some village children about two and a half hours away from Bucharest. There's a couple of them, Roma villages, or the gypsies. aged out orphans, and then also small village churches. There's we do some evangelical churches there, working with them.
These ministries look like crafts. I'm the craft queen, which if I'm not doing a craft with the kids, I'm getting ready for a craft. We make weekly visits. It's very important for these kids to see us every week. There was one group that came. We hadn't been able to spend time with them very much, and they came to our office, and they said, they came to our house, and they said, oh, we thought you didn't want to be with us anymore. We thought you didn't love us anymore. It's like, no, it's because of your schedule that we haven't been able to have them over. And so it was heartbreaking, and it made us remember and to realize that we must visit them. They love it when we come. They love that somebody loves them and that we'll continue to visit them. Yeah. Lots of food. Romania is a very food culture.
Yeah, and then we do birthdays with them. We'll bring in a cake. We sing to them and give them each a gift, stuff like that. And then, like I said, Camp Living Water. We average probably about 50 kids a week or so with that. And most of the time we have not, especially after when COVID hit, we were not able to have teams. And we're just now starting to get back to that. We had a team from Victoria, Texas came last year, and also a team from our home church down in Rockport.
And now y'all, right?
Yes.
We would love to have you guys
come.
Like
I said, I put that in there as maybe a little bit of a nudge, to get you a team to come. There are also maybe some opportunities for different things, too, some construction and stuff like that. So
there's a church that we're working with that basically has a squatty potty, and that's it. There's no sink. There's nothing. So we want to really partner with this church to get them a bathroom. At least one toilet and one sink would be amazing.
The next one. So these are the kids that we generally work with each week. It's pronounced Urzichin, is the town where they're at. And these are kids that we have actually been working with since 2016, the first time we went to Romania. And so we've gotten to watch them grow up and grow into the young men and women that they've become. We started, I think there was about 35 or 37 kids in the orphanage, and it's down now to 10. And so these are just wonderful kids that they love it when we come. They love to do the crafts. We play lots of games with them.
They're teenagers now, so they'll be messaging, are you coming today? They really look forward to us coming. And we have several orders for different kinds of candy that you can't get over there, so our suitcases are going to be full on the way back.
Yeah, go ahead to the next one.
More birthdays, lots of groups. This is Brittany's church group that got to drop by after camp, and we got to visit with them a little bit.
Yeah. Go ahead. And the little girl that was there in the middle with Rhonda, when we first met her, she was about that big and had the little pigtails that looked literally like Boo from Monsters, Inc. And so that's why her name to us is always going to be Boo, even though now she's about this tall and,
And she's one of the examples that we desperately need prayer for the language. We have a great tutor now. Our missionary organization thought we just jump in and learn language as we go. And we've learned some, but a lot of the language that they speak in the villages that you don't learn in a classroom. And so this is one girl that was trying to tell me something private, and I just didn't get it. And so I called over a translator, and that shut her down completely. So please pray for language. We really want to hear what they have to say. We really want to hear their hearts. We really need the language. Like you said, we're a little bit older, and they're talking to us about English grammar. I'm like, I don't remember that either. So it's hard.
All right, going to the next.
Bucharest, Sector 4. It's like a pie, and in Bucharest, 2-point-something million people. It just about broke me moving to a big city. There's pie pieces, and we work in Sector 4. There are 200 kids in that sector, and we only minister to about 45. We do not have the manpower, the time, the people. So if you are feeling called, if something stirs in your heart, we would love to have you. Even if you come for a week, a month, a year, lifetime, whatever God is putting on your heart.
Go on to the next.
See the girl in the middle? That was a sponge that she got, and she was so excited to receive a sponge with something fun on it. That's these kids.
Yeah, and we play games with them. A lot of times they'll have different holidays during the year. You know, they'll do for, they have an International Children's Day or something, and so we'll take them out to the park, play games with them, have food with them, stuff like that. They love playing the game One Arm, Two Arm, None. It's one that we used to do with our youth back in Rockport, and we brought it, and they're all like, I want to do the One Arm game, and, you know, and they try to cheat it and go, okay, yeah, yeah, all of this, but they have a great time with them. Go on to the next one.
Roshiori de Vede. I'm saying that because I finally got it. I can't tell you how many times it took me to learn that village name. This Christmas, we were able to give them all a gift. For the Balach group, we gave them a gift of snacks. They absolutely loved it because they don't always get junk food, you know. They're always wanting junk food. And this was a God story because Christmas was crazy. We had 10 parties, and that's getting ready for the party, and that's doing the party, and traveling. These villages are about 2.5 hours away from where we live. And I did not have time to ask anybody for any additional funds. And so I said, God, we just don't have enough money for this RDV, is what the RDV, a village, and what are we going to do? And so I prayed. And God, most of the shoe boxes from Samaritan's Purse were going to Ukraine. We had already been told, you're not going to get any. I was like, okay, but you pray and God answers. And so for the Gypsy Church, we were able to give the shoe boxes, and we were able to meet all the needs for Christmas because God is good.
Go to the next one.
We try to go there at least once a month, twice a month. And this is, we actually have a team coming to do a vacation Bible school with this group. It's a new group, and they actually were able to go into the school and invite these kids to come to the church. This is the church. If you see in that top middle, there's a shed. And I said, this would be a perfect place for a restroom. So that's where it's going to be built eventually. God is going to answer that prayer. I have faith. And people to come and help build it. And so these kids are just starting to hear about the Bible. We were able to give them a Bible storybook for Christmas, and every single one of them were like, oh, I want to see what's in here. It was amazing. It was just God touching their hearts.
Okay, next. And then we do church ministries. Like I said, there's a couple of different churches that we work with in one of the villages. The main one we do, though, is Hope Church in a place called Pitolice, which we've been ministering to that with them since 2016. Pastor Marian is our good friend there. And the one picture of a bunch of people, it's would be on, I guess, the left as you're looking down there. There's one young man, 2016, when we first went there, we did a vacation Bible school with them. And just about 2 months ago, this young man was baptized in the church. And so you never know how long these things will take. You know, you never know what little seed you can plant that will then bear fruit later on. And so it was a blessing from God to let us see that, because a lot of times you don't. You know, you are obedient, you plant, and he does the watering and the harvesting and everything. So
especially when Isaiah 59 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. He can reach in anywhere, everywhere he wants to go. And he loves these people way more than we do. And it's amazing to see. I also do ladies ministry. And they're older ladies mostly. And it's a time away for them. We do a craft with them. They don't really get to sit and do anything fun. They are farmers. They work from sun up to sundown. And so to give them a little bit of a reprieve is amazing. And we were able also to provide a food box so that they could bake something so they could give that as gifts for Christmas.
Yeah, and the one ladies group, Rhonda has some food allergies and stuff, and so they know that. And they'll make things specially for her. And the pastor's wife goes up to me the other day, and we were there, and she goes, Rhonda, este raspazzata.
I'm a brat.
She's the spoiled. Rasfatsata is spoiled brat in Romanian.
But they love me. So it's just been a blessing for me as well to minister to these ladies.
Go on to the next.
More crafts. Somebody from America sewed some hats, not sewed, crocheted or knitted. I don't know. This is a craft I cannot do. But they were so excited to receive the blankets and the hats and the scarves. It was very, very neat to see that they loved them.
Okay.
Oh, our heart. It hurts when I see their pictures because we homeschooled for 18 years, and I thought that was going to be the hardest thing I'd ever done. But God said, that wasn't hard enough. Come on, let's move to Romania. Let's give you some aged-out orphans so that you can minister to them. It's going to be the hardest thing, and it's going to break your heart. If it breaks Jesus' heart, it should be breaking our heart. I have, we invite them into our home. We give them counseling, food, you know, we provide everything that they need. We try to help them find jobs. We try to show them how much the love of Jesus is. And it's so hard for them to accept that because they have abandonment issues. They have, there's a name for it, and I never can remember it, but they can't bond. That's the word I'm looking for, is they cannot bond with you because they've been abandoned. And the minute they feel you loving on them, they're like, I don't know what that is. I got to go. I can't deal with that anymore. And so then they leave, and they go into things that the oldest trade in the world, I guess you could call it that, I don't know. They choose a lot of bad. The verse that says the dog returns to its vomit happens more often than not. It's very heartbreaking, and this is where God is asking us to. We rented a larger house. We're trying to rent the other side so that they have a little bit more freedom and they're not under their parents' roof. You know, once they turn 18 and get out of the orphanage, they want to do different things. But we want them close so that we can love on them and show them the love of Christ.
Okay, go ahead next.
Yeah. This middle is a Bible study. We know that nothing can change these girls. No amount of counseling, no amount of love from us can change them except for the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. One of them that made most, if not all, the jewelry that's back there on the table, she's doing amazing, but it's only because of Christ that she accepted.
Yeah, and one of the photos there, the girl with her little girl that's there, where we're living now used to be Associazione Free, which is a group that works on getting women out of traffic situations and everything. And I was just sitting watching a little bit of TV one evening, and I look out our window and I see our gate opening, and there's this girl and her daughter, and she was asking where Free was. She knew it was there. She had been there before, or whatever. And we said, well, look, we worked with one of our other people to kind of translate, and we invited her in. She was like, you serious? You're going to let me come in and stay? And we're like, yeah, you come in. They stayed for the night. Then the next day, Rhonda was able to get up and found them a place where they could stay and be safe and everything. You know, we don't know a lot of times how God's going to work. And so, okay, go on to next. And camp. It's Camp Living Water. And it is out in the foothills of the Carpathian Mountains. At I don't remember what the elevation is, but it is a wonderful and very tiring time, but it's a blessing. We do a lot of fun games and stuff with these kids. People get to love on them. We do Bible. There's a Bible study time, kind of, or preaching time, and then we do still also have small group time, which is where we can really get into, you know, the what's going on with our lives and try to pour into them and help them to truly understand how much God loves them. If you go on to the next. So the one young man up there where I'm sitting, we're holding the baseball gloves. Baseball is not a big sport over in Romania. Anything where they have to throw, they're not always the greatest at it. They use their feet a lot, but throwing, it's a little whatever. This young man, though, I've had a pastor friend down in the valley that's given me a bunch of baseball gloves and baseballs and stuff. And so I just started throwing, and he and I were going, and he says, I'd love to play catch with my dad. And I lost my dad last February. He's the one that taught me. And so it really touched my heart. And I said, you know what? Here. And I gave him two gloves and a couple of balls. I said, go play with your dad. Go have some fun. You know, because a lot of these kids don't do anything with their dads like that. And so it was just a true blessing to be able to, you know, pour into him a little bit.
And the village where they're from, a lot of alcoholism. There's just a lot of that.
Yeah. Go on to the next.
The beautiful girl in the middle was a camper, and then she was 16, so she could come be a part of the staff. And I had given my testimony to the campers about my dad, and she said, you know, I'm having trouble with my dad. I want to talk. So we went and sat down, and we talked to her, and she accepted Christ. Those are the moments during camp that it's like, okay, even though we're exhausted and we can, I mean, 8 weeks is a long time, and then I'm the acting nurse, and so I'll get knocks at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning because they haven't gone to bed yet, even though I thought they did. But she said, I really want what you have. And so it seems like a little, you know, we work with so many people, and yet we see a little bit of fruit, and we're so thankful for the fruit that we do get to see.
Yeah, and then the one picture of all the girls with their dresses and stuff, that's all the staff. And last year they decided they wanted to dress up the one last night. But it's been really good because Rhonda and Daisy and some of the others have been able to try to pour into these girls, and they're asking for Bibles and wanting to go deeper. And, you know, every morning before we start off with camp, we have a meeting and somebody gives a little devotional and we have prayer time with them and stuff. So they're seeing it modeled and they're wanting to become part of it, which is a blessing. So go on to the next. Like I said, we have finally been able to have a couple of teams that have come back. It's been really nice. I do a lot of grilling. You know, they ask me, they're like, well, how do you know how to grill? I said, look, I'm from Texas. If I don't know how to grill, something's wrong, you know. And, you know, so when we're cooking for 50, 60 people, we've got 300-400 pieces of meat or chicken or whatever, and you know, a lot of times I'll be working.
Meat is an unkay sausage, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I'll be working two. If I don't have a team member there or somebody to help me, I'm usually working two grills at the same time, which gets a little interesting.
Which is why we love teams. We could definitely use teams in the summer. We can definitely use teams all time of year. October is a beautiful month over there. The trees change, and it's a beautiful time. We have so much ministry. We cannot do it all. We have a team member who's adopted 8 children. Several of them are special needs. We also have a team member who just had a baby. We have the Daisy and Audie. They run the camp, and they live in another town, and so it's us as well. So pray for our team. Pray for more team members. You know, the Bible says to pray for the workers, and I've been praying for the workers. The harvest is plentiful. We just need some more workers.
Next. This, we really want to talk about vision versus reality. You know, when we first got into this, thinking about these aged outs and stuff, we had this vision of a transition home. They'd come in, we'd be able to pour the Bible into them and love on them and get them the counseling and all of these things. And it hasn't actually happened that way. You know, they come in. They'll stay for a night and then go, I think I'm going to go back to the guy that just beat me or whatever. You know,
besides, he only put me in the hospital once. This is what we're hearing. They want to come and they want to be loved. But like I said earlier, once you start loving on them, they freak out. They don't know what to do with that pure love of Christ. They just don't know what to do. And so right now we are doing emergency situations. The younger kids that we visit and work with, can I come stay with you? Yes. Yes, you can. When you turn 18, you can come stay with us. And that's why we pour into the younger ones. That way we have the opportunity. They know about us. They know they have a safe place. We want to help them to be good citizens, and we want them to, first and foremost, know Jesus Christ. Second, to be able to be out on their own and to do things that they need to do as a person in society. And share the love of Christ with others.
Yeah. And just to, we can tell these stories a little bit. The one little girl on the right, she had plans. She was talking to us, and she was going to come live with us. And or it's on the left. I don't know.
The left.
Whatever. Yeah, left on. Okay. Anyway, she was like, "Oh yeah, I'm excited. We're going to come. Whatever." And then as time came around, she decided she would move in with her 17-year-old boyfriend and his family. And we just saw her a few weeks ago when we were in the village or in the town there of Erzichen. She's walking around behind him, all kind of slumped over, pregnant. They think that this is going to what's going to save them. Oh, this guy loves me, and they're going to take care of me. And we've seen so many times, yeah, they get him pregnant, and then they say, okay, well, you're going to leave your kid with my mom, and then I'm going to send you to Germany or whatever, and you know. Work.
The girl in the middle, you can see the back of her. She's been in and out 4 times. It is so hard when they don't choose to stay. And they don't choose to stay because they don't understand. She's like, well, I need to be cooking for you. I need to be cleaning for you. It's like, well, as a part of the house, yes, you can do your part, but we're still going to do our part. I believe in servanthood. You know, like Jesus said, you be a servant. I'm going to wash your feet so that you can also wash feet. I don't believe in just telling everybody, do this, do that. I believe in washing those feet. And so she did not understand that. She could not get it. She could not get it. 4 times she's been in and out. We come home from church Christmas Eve, and there's this 56-year-old man waiting for her to take her. And what could we do? We let her go. When she needs us, I guarantee you, she'll know who to call. The next picture, there's Gabe. Can you see Gabe in there? and Gabriella, we have hired Gabriella. She is an incredible tutor. She goes and does ministry with us. We've only been able to hire her part-time. We want to hire her full-time. So that's another reason why we need some extra funds. But we also have this beautiful young lady with 2 sweet little boys. She was doing great, got a job. The ID was a problem. She couldn't get daycare anymore. She said, you know, I know my mom. I want a relationship with her. So I said, okay. And so she decided to go with her mom. So we took her to this little village to be with her mother and her sister and her stepdad and all these people. We just found out recently that she's left. She left her 2 boys with her family. And she's going and doing stuff. We can't say too much. We got little kids in here. Yeah. It's very, very heartbreaking.
You know, and then we had another lady and her 2 teenagers that came to stay with us. We told them, look, we can do this for a time. We had X amount. You need to be looking for a job. Get a job before. And, you know, it was a good month and a half, 2 months. There's jobs everywhere. She would not get a job. There was just something, I don't know. And a lot of them, it's this welfare mentality of, you know, everybody will take care of me type thing, and so I don't have to do anything. And she, you know, him hawed around, and it finally came down, and sadly, we had to put her kids, Rhonda had to go take them and put them in the system, although they seemed to be doing quite well in it.
They said they were doing good because they were getting regular meals. Their mom wasn't even providing meals. So we're going to stop and pause for a funny story. It wasn't funny that we had to take them into social services. We have this older car. It's a 2008. And so it's a stick shift, and not too many people know how to drive a stick shift, the younger ones. And so I'm taking them. Well, our car doesn't start. Our car is a little finicky, and it's done this 3 times, where it just decides not to start, right? So we're at the social services, and my coworker is pregnant, but she doesn't know how to drive a stick shift. She doesn't even know how to drive at all. And I'm like, I'm just trying to explain to her how, because you can pop the clutch to start the car, right? She's like, no, I'm just going to push the car. I'm like, oh, my gosh. We are needing a new car. But I felt so bad because here we are with all their stuff loaded, and she's having to push the car so I can pop the clutch.
Yeah, I wish we'd had a picture of that one, you know, 8-month pregnant woman pushing the car to pop the clutch and then ends up face first on the ground, like I did the first time that happened to me.
Yeah. So. I did Phil took it to the mechanic, and of course it didn't not start, right? They don't know what's wrong with it, so anyway.
All right, going to the next. You know, we want to talk about some of the issues with overseas missions. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, missionaries, y'all are doing great, blah, blah, this and that, and don't realize a lot of what we end up going through. You know, we have family here, kids, grandkids now, you know, parents that are aging, stuff like that. We've got friends still here that you know, we don't get to see or talk to, whatever. We've got in-country issues. You know, we applied for a new visa back in November. They told us it'll be there by, or no, sorry, early December. They said it'll be here by January 20th. We still have not received word that our ID is in yet. So we were told when Rhonda had come back right before we came here, they go, well, you've got 10 days to get out of the country. And she's like, well, that's okay. We're leaving in 2 days. And then we'll have 90 days once we get back, you know, on our normal passport. So hopefully by then everything will be taken care of.
And there's a lot of issues with the aged outs trying to get their ID moved. They have to move the ID so that they can have their free child care, which is why we have a long-term vision of a house for these girls where they have a studio apartment and then also have a home to where they can we can have a daycare for their kids and they can help. We can hire them to help with that as well.
Yeah.
Language barriers. I've kind of talked about that. We really need prayer for that. We want to be able to really speak to them. And when you have six different words for one verb only in the present tense, that's a lot of memorization. So.
Yeah, and like I said, the first verb they teach you is afi, which means to do or to be. But it's conjugated in the present tense as sunt, yesht, yeste, suntem, suntets, sunt. I'm like, where's the fee? You know? They're like, oh, yeah, that comes later in one or the other. I'm like, great. Let's just really start this whole thing off with something like that. So
there is, we've already talked about the vision versus reality. We really want to hear what God has to tell us. And a lot of times we have ideas in our mind how it's going to go. And then God says, this is actually how it's going to go. We still have that vision and where we really want to pour into these girls. And we're praying that they would want to stay, that they would want to know the love of Christ, because that is reality. Reality is that God loves them so much that he gave himself. He died on that cross for them. And that is a concept that they don't understand when they don't ever get the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says and the stories that it says. So we love to be able to share that. And loneliness. You know, we talked about everybody's a missionary. Every single one of you who knows Jesus Christ is a missionary. We are to pour into the lives of others wherever we are at. The Bible says to start in Jerusalem. That's your hometown. This is where you start. And then God gives you more and more and more. And there were times when we were living in Rockport, I would pray, okay, Lord, today is your day. Let me be filled with your Holy Spirit. And let me, even at the grocery store, because I would get in a hurry and grumpy. And like, even at the grocery store, let me have those divine moments where you let me pour into somebody. That's where it starts, right here. And then you never know. You never know what God is going to do. I never, ever thought I would be a missionary. So we are just normal people, just like you. And we get lonely. We get frustrated. We get angry. We get hurt. But we also have the joy of the Lord. And he every morning, you know, he says his mercies are new every morning. So we wake up, even though we've had a rough day the day before, we wake up and we get into the Word. And the Lord just pours his love on us. And it's just a beautiful picture of how do we make it there? People have asked us, how do you do this? Nobody has been successful. Our success is in obeying and loving the Lord and loving others. What they choose to do is not on us. It's on the Lord. And the Lord will work with them and love on them. But what they choose, we all have a choice.
And then the last thing, like I said, was support. You know, we do rely strictly on contributions from churches, individuals, stuff like that. We have to raise our own funds. So that's one of the things, you know, we're currently on this little trip. We are seeking, like I said, you can go to the next slide. You know, some prayer needs. We're talking about financial needs, monthly, one time. We've got ministry that we do, like you've seen, we do it all the time. There's birthdays, there's outings, there's, shoes, Christmas, all of those types of things that we come up with the money to do that. And due to inflation and everything else, things have gone up 30% or more. So it is one of those things where, you know, we're just having to do with a lot less than we would. Like I said, our vehicle is currently 15 years old. This is something that we're kind of looking at needing. I think we've looked at it, probably about $10,000 would help to get us something that is newer, plus with some money that we already have kind of socked away. So, we're constantly, like I said, traveling back and forth every week, an hour, 2 hours, one way, and needing something that's going to be a little more reliable for us.
I don't like to say, yeah, I'll be there. And then I get in the car, it's like, ugh, again. And like I said, it's happened several times. But
yeah, and then we're looking, like I said, at renting the other side of the duplex that we're in so that the girls can kind of have their own space with some their freedoms and stuff like that. But we can still keep an eye on them and still try to be able to pour into them. And
we need teams. We really need people. And God has promised me in his word that teams from far away will come and help with the building needs. And so we're just waiting on the Lord's timing. God is so good. He is going to do what he does in his timing. But we want to present the needs to you. There is a way to give. We have a table in the back. All the donations that you give go 100% to us here. If you give to steppingforward.com, steppingforwardministries.com, you can give by credit card or by check, and we're looking for more monthly supporters. It's, like Phil said, it's gotten expensive. I mean, 35% or 50% is usually what we're paying more, and so it's just gotten a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, there's, if you want to look at that, that shows you the different ways that you can do that, and I appreciate, anything. But the main thing we really seek is prayer.
We covet
your prayers every day.
We know. We feel it. And there's times that we feel like, is anybody praying for us? Because my attitude is awful. And I need somebody to pray for me. And we've been so busy. We've just gotten into more village ministries, there's so much. There's so much harvest here. So we ask you also to pray about you. How are you going to participate with us in this mission? You pray. That is the number one. Every single person in this room and online can pray. Second is to give. I understand not everybody can give. I know prices have gone up here. I was shocked when we went to the grocery store. For 2 sticks of butter in Romania, it's $5. That's a lot of money. And so we're trying to, thankfully I know how to cook from scratch, which is awesome because it saves a lot of money. And you can also go. You can go for a week. You can go for a month, you can go for a year, you can go long term. So whatever the Lord is asking you, and
are we ready to close?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, Isaiah 58, verse 9. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with a yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. Bucharest is a very dark place. Christian concerts never make it. They don't make it. I don't know why, but I sure would love a Christian concert. And your night will become like the noonday. How bright that is at noon, right? The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. This is one of the verses that God continues to give me, that he will strengthen us. He has those wonderful, beautiful I will statements. I will take care of you. I will be with you forever. And that is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we ask for you, pray. If you can give, if you can go, but everybody can pray.
Yeah. If we've done nothing else today, we hope that we have spurred you on to see where God wants to work and use you You know, it may be using you right here in this church somehow. It may go down as small as using you in a different way in your family. You know, maybe you've not been the husband or the father or the mother or the wife that you need to be. And that's your, you know, your field right now. Working in this community, you know, and maybe it is going to different places in the States, helping out there. You know, our son works with Samaritan's Ministry right now and he absolutely loves it. And it could be going overseas, you know. Our email is he's not finished. Because we didn't start this until we were about 50. And, you know, God, when he says we're finished is when we're finished. You know, when we take our last breath is when we'll be done. So, anyway, we thank you all. And I think Gary's going to come up.
I'd like to ask you to do this. We've come to the portion of our service, and I think that this information was pretty important. It's essential that we know this, but you know the time right now is the most important that you've got? Right now is what you're going to do with the information you received. We hear God's call, but do we respond? I want to ask you, if at any time during the sharing of this information, did God pull on your heart at all? Did God kind of tug on you and just say, you know, hey, find out more about that? There are so many opportunities here. We as a church have an opportunity to share with people who don't have. Maybe you're being called. Can I ask you to just bow your head for a moment, and would you let me speak to a heart of prayer? Let me ask you this, as we start to pray, let me ask you, will you let God use you? Sometimes you think, what can I do? Well, I'm sure a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish thought he didn't have much. Or a widow with less than 2 pennies. And look what God can do if you'll just give it to the Lord. God, I don't have any talent. God, I can't preach. God, I can't sing. Could you love on a child? Could you do a craft? Could you put in a potty? Wow. And that serves God. Yes, your first ministry is right here. There's no doubt. To your home, to your house, to your children, to your parents, to your grandchildren, to your neighbors. But perhaps God would call you further. But I ask you, will you go where God leads you right now? Will you go where God says to go? Will you take up the cross of Christ Jesus and go where He calls you?